and because of that he was despised by many, including his fellow composers from the Mighty Handful, because they thought about him as being less professional, less educated musically than some of them. But his strength was that he dared to say what he wanted to say and the way he wanted to say. Mussorgsky at that time shared the apartment with his friend, poet Golenishchev-Kutuzov, and he had a very small room. The first song of the cycle is called Within Four Walls, and it's about this little room.
Непроглядная тень безответная, дума глубокая, песня унылая, в бьющемся сердце надежда заветная. Быстрый полет за мгновенье мгновенья, взор неподвижный на счастье далекое, много сомнения, много терпения. Вот она, ночь моя.
Well, we didn't have that physician who so impressed Maria singing it in the Mighty Handful circle, but what we did have is my guest Alexander Tumanov singing with Bonnie Silver at the piano. And Alexander is with me here in the studio to talk about the 19th century Russian singer Maria Olenina Dalheim. Now, Alexander, in the late 1800s, when she was a teenager, young singer on her way up, opera was the way to go. So how did she manage to make a life for herself?
Well, still in St. Petersburg, she was already inclined toward the concert stage. Maria has always been a dreamer, a holy fool, Yurodivaya in Russian, as she called herself. In 1893, she went to Paris to continue her singing lessons, and soon after that, she met her future husband and collaborator, the French journalist and writer of Russian origins, Pierre Dalheim. She infected him with her love of Mussorgsky, and he became a Pygmalion. So it was kind of a union made in heaven, and they dedicated their entire life to the cause of Mussorgsky.
Incredible.
In 1896, in Paris, appeared some posters with very strange announcement. They were called conférences, where Maria would sing and Pierre would give a lecture. Soon, all this was brought to Russia. And at that time, Maria introduced a new genre, the vocal chamber music, the monographic programs, connected by the common theme or the composer or the style. And later, she used the same format when she and Pierre established an institution which was called the House of Song.
Tell me about her singing style. What inspired it, Alexander?
In 1896, she and Pierre went to the All-Russian exhibition at Nizhny Novgorod. One encounter produced a deep impression on her. This was her meeting with the folk storyteller, сказительница, named Fedosova. Fedosova sang during the exhibition. And Olenina wrote, she was demonstrated, literally demonstrated, by an official expert on Russian epic tales and songs. She sang Widow's Laments. The expert asked the audience to note that after each couplet, she performed fiorituri. "What fiorituris are you going on about?" Fedosova retorted. "These are tears and sobs."
А уж ты бросила своих детей малых, уж ты оставила, а да еще глупые, уж и они маленькие, а да еще недорошенные.
Well, Alexander, that's an incredible sound. Is that the sort of thing that Fedosyev would have been singing?
I would say that probably it is very, very close. And I presume that in 1896, Fedosyev was doing the same thing.
A real Russian lament.
Yes.
A folk lament.
Yes, a folk lament. So Fedosyev confirmed Maria's own ideas about the relationship between the text and music and feelings in the performance.
Now, Maria did not record, so how do we even know her singing style at all, Alexander?
The only existing references are the reviews in the media and impressions of her contemporaries, but these are in the hundreds, of course. As Andrei Bely, one of the Russian poet symbolists, said that she was a high priestess of song. Her presence was absolutely mesmerizing. She sang in such a way that people did not think about the voice itself, but they were taken by the expressiveness. While I was researching for my book in 1991 in Paris, I was lucky to have met possibly the last man who knew and heard her sing. But of course, he heard her in 1920s. She was already over 60. His name was Doda Konrad, and he was a singer and an artist. He himself was in the 90s at that time.
When I first heard her in my life was in 1923 or 24. She had one of those voices which was completely completely without time.
No vibrato?
Vibrato at all. And all the singers who would hear her, students, would despise her. But still, there are some things which yes. I will always remember. You know, she would not sing it really. She would... You couldn't explain... She would shout sometimes. Mm-hmm. Elle criait.
Yes.
She would yell. And she had strange dresses. And she would raise her arms on the platform.
Yes.
She had big sleeves like that.
Yes.
She looked like a bird who's going to... It was very tragic and very impressive. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but when she did Mussorgsky or Lenin or... Russian composers. She was really unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are many singers who sang much better, who disappeared completely in my memory.
Yes, but she stayed.
Completely.
Yes,
completely.
Right.
Doda Konrad in Paris, in conversation with my guest, Alexander Tumanov. Now, Alexander, you met Maria yourself when she was what, in her 90s?
She was 96, yeah.
Wow.
And she, of course, being that old, her memory often failed her, and I couldn't get a coherent story about her life. But in the course of our conversation, I found out that she remembered all the songs of Mussorgsky, every word, every rest, all tempi, all nuances, everything. And I asked Olenina if she would like to give master classes for young singers on Mussorgsky songs. She said yes, with pleasure, and the master classes were arranged. Two singers, Galina Pisarenko and Viktor Rybinsky, came to her apartment with the pianist Vera Shubina, and I recorded all sessions on tape. It was a revelation. Suddenly, I was able to say, now I know